When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Well, welcome to the Friday edition. The Friday edition is, of course, the Q&A edition of Talking Real Money, where I take your questions that you've sent into talkingrealmoney.com and try to answer them for you. And really love doing this particular program every week. So we've got a bunch of questions lined up, so let's get right to them. Here is number one.
Hi, Don and Tom. Thank you for your excellent show. I wanted to get your thoughts on increasing the weighting of small value to my portfolio. Currently, I aim for about 10% small cap value and have been doing that predominantly through Vanguard's VBR. As Vanguard is where almost the entirety of our portfolio is with. I know you're both big fans of AVUV, the Avantis fund, along with the Dimensional Funds equivalent. Comparing the two, I was thinking about switching over. Comparing the two, it looks like both the Dimensional Funds and the Avantis have even smaller small cap concentration than the Vanguard VBR. I'm sure there's other things they do too, but what are your thoughts to keep things simpler for me instead of switching over to increase from 10% VBR to 15% VBR, so as to push my portfolio skewed more in the small cap direction? Thanks again for your great show. Look forward to hearing from you.
I don't see a darn thing wrong with increasing your exposure to small cap. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I would maybe just keep VBR and add in something like AVUV, because you're going to get, well, a better way to invest in small cap. It's a little bit more aggressive. And as you said, the Avantis and the DFA run a little bit smaller and certainly more value-y than does VBR. You could replace VBR with AVUV. I wouldn't have a problem doing that, just doing 15% there, splitting the difference, 7.5, 7.5, or doing 10 VBR as you're doing, and adding 5 of the AVUV. I just think having that in there, it's not that hard to add it, and it does add enough potential to make it worthwhile. So I think it's a smart move. Thanks for listening, and good luck. If you have a question, just send it in. TalkingRealMoney.com. Just click on that contact form there and you can record your question right there. And now, our next question.
Hello, Tom and Don. Really appreciate your show. Very entertaining, and I am gaining a lot of knowledge from you guys. Unfortunately, I had an issue with getting my RMD out of Vanguard, the 403B. And I submitted my request a little bit too late in the month of December. And so, unfortunately, now the check is written out for January 3rd. So, Vanguard's going to write a letter to that effect, or they did write one, and I have to submit it with my tax documents. So, the check is for $42,000. The taxes for the feds and state have already been taken off. I'm hoping I can avoid a penalty. I know there's some form that I need to submit, but I'm wondering, because it was really $54,000 that should have been taken off of the, or added to my income on the 23 taxes. So what do I do? Do I just do an amended form later? The taxes have been paid. But this messes with my IRMA. It puts me up in the second to the highest bracket. I don't know. Is there any suggestion you can make? Thank you. Bye.
Ooh, just 3 days late. Well, the good news is you're probably going to get a waiver. As I would wait on filing. I would wait on filing taxes altogether until I heard back from the IRS on the waiver. They say don't pay the excise tax, which can be as high as 25%. So don't pay that. Having the letter from Vanguard is going to help a lot, from what I've read and understand. I think it's going to help you a lot. So fill out the form. I'm trying to remember what the number is. 5329. Read the instructions, fill that form out, send it along with your letter from Vanguard, and you stand a very good chance. The other option is you can get it reduced to 10 almost immediately, but you don't even want to have to pay the 10, because if you pay your excise tax, if you do that within 2 years, the penalty goes down from 25 to 10. But I think you stand a very, very good chance of getting a waiver on this one. So I would go ahead and file for the waiver and wait on filing the return, or file and amend. You can do either, but I'd wait. Thank you so much for your question. Moving right along. Let's go to the next one.
Hello, Don and Tom. Thank you for your podcast. Very informative. I have a 401k Roth account, and I currently do contribute to this account. When I retire at age 67 and roll over this account, do I need to wait 5 years to access the funds? Thank you for your response.
Well, this is going to be a pretty fast Q&A episode today. If you move a 401k Roth and you roll it over or transfer it, which is better, just directly transfer it, into your own Roth IRA, you are not subject to that 5% rule in waiting to take out some of the gains. You're going Roth to Roth. So the Roth rules continue. You're fine. It's just as if you started a Roth IRA 5+ years ago. So you'll be fine. I would not worry about it at all. I'd go ahead and when you retire, put it all together in your Roth IRA and enjoy retirement. See, I told you it was going fast. Now, let's see. Next one's coming up through TalkingRealMoney.com on the contact form. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Mike calling. I enjoy your show tremendously. I just had a quick question, and I just wanted to see how you guys respond. I know you're generally anti-annuity, but in thinking about that, isn't there a conflict of interest when you guys are recommending not buying an annuity simply because you obviously manage people's monies, and let's just say you charge 1% and it's a client says, I want to put $500,000 into an annuity. Well, you lose the management of that $500,000 and thus the 1% of the $500,000. So, that's really just my question. How do you wrestle with that conflict of interest when you are seeing monies leave your portfolios if somebody does go to an annuity? I just appreciate your response to that. Have a great day.
Thanks for that, Mike. You guys are thinkers. You're thinking because, yeah, there is a conflict of interest there, the potential of a conflict of interest. There are often conflicts of interest. We are human beings. We are going to be conflicted. But the trick is explaining the conflict. When you tell people about the conflict, then you've mitigated the conflict because the client now can decide whether to work with you or not. And what I am not a working advisor. I've been one, but I'm not now. But what I would do in a situation like that, if the client came to me and said, I want an annuity, I would sit down and try to figure out if there's a really good reason for it. Because if there is, if this is somebody who absolutely needs to have that safety of an immediate annuity, then I just do it. But if it's somebody who's being sold a variable annuity, what I would do is show them why it is less in their best interest to go that way than to stay with us. Because they're, and if it isn't, if it's a magical program with ridiculously low fees and no surrender charges and wonderful funds at very low costs that I've never seen one of these, but if it was better, I would tell the client it was better. That's the trick. You give your clients the truth. And the truth is a great defense against anything. You don't, I would never try to keep a client's money just so I kept making my 1%. By the way, I don't make the 1% as an advisor. It's the firm, it's the management, it's the, you know, the shareholders in the firm, it's the advisor to some extent. But no, I can see why there would be the appearance of a conflict, but it's really easy to mitigate that conflict just by telling people the truth. Thanks for the question. And let's just do one more, shall we? And then we'll call it a Friday.
Hi, Tom and Don. Early last year, I heard about your show while listening to the Clark Howard podcast, and you both have opened up a new perspective on our investing approach, which for the last 12 years has been following a rules-based momentum strategy from a company called SoundMind Investing, after being convinced of the research backing up momentum. We've averaged about 9.3% over this time, but comparing to other index-based diversified portfolios, this still lags a bit. With all the work of monthly adjustments, I started having the feeling just being the market would be perfectly acceptable and involve much less work. Hearing you guys, Paul Merriman and Clark Howard, all essentially giving the same advice on diversified passive index funds convinced me I was on the right track. So in the fall last year, we ditched this very active strategy for a more passive approach. Because we've been doing a completely different approach up until now, I'd like a sanity check and critique of our current asset allocation and investments and any advice you have to offer. We currently have over $800,000 in retirement savings and contribute about 16% of my $150,000 income, including the employer match. 50% of our overall portfolio is in the 401k, and that's all in Vanguard Target Date 2070. Which I chose just to minimize the bond percent. 20% is in AVUV, that's in a mix of IRA and Roth IRA accounts, and 30% is in AVGE, and that's all Roth. Given I feel we're in the accumulation phase of our retirement planning journey, I'd like to know if we're on the right track or if there are other critiques you'd offer. You guys talk so much about having a plan. In a nutshell, ours would be to have around $4 or $5 million nest egg by our late 50s. That's a very conservative estimate after running some Monte Carlo simulations. We currently spend about $70,000 after tax. My wife stays at home and we're both 41. We both contribute to our kids' college and HSAs. And I don't really have a desire to stop working completely in my 50s, but would like to have the freedom to pursue other interests that may not pay as much. So really appreciate your time and advice. Thanks.
Well, thanks for listening to Clark, and thanks for listening to us. We like rules-based investing, but I think these guys at Sound Mind Investing are maybe taking advantage of people a little bit. It's sort of an affinity sale, I see. And they seem to have some tricks from getting around registering as an investment advisor, which I believe they should, because they are making money giving investment advice. Now, you can take a look at how they do, and you're right. They're underperforming indexes dramatically. And I do mean dramatically. They have their own mutual fund. The Sound Mind, what is the symbol? I have it here. SMIFX, Sound Mind Investing Fund. And it is a fund of funds. So they're not actually buying individual securities. They're buying funds in the fund. So you've got expenses of the funds in the fund, and then you've got the expenses of the fund buying the funds. And it's expensive. They charge 1.5% to manage the money. And they're turning that portfolio all the time, which probably has a lot to do with why they so dramatically underperform their benchmark, which are their benchmark and the indexes. They underperform their benchmark by even more. But their underperformance is, in some cases, pretty darn dramatic. So they do a little better in down markets. They do a lot worse in up markets. So good for you not being with them. As for your portfolio, given your age, congratulations, you're in amazing shape. You've got a lot of money at your age. You're way ahead of the curve. You have expenses that are certainly, even adjusted for inflation, given the way you're investing, you just extrapolate those numbers out and you're looking like you're in great shape for retirement. Really great shape. So I would keep doing what you're doing. I think you're building a very smart portfolio. You're being aggressive, which you can afford to be at your age and in that accumulation phase. Just to make sure this is where you should be, go to TalkingRealMoney.com and take the risk quiz. Just see what it says your risk tolerance is. But I'm betting you're pretty accurate on your assessment of it. So good for you. Keep going. I think you made a wise decision. By the way, momentum is a proven factor, a well-tested factor, but it's just one of five or six factors that go into building a scientifically based, academically based portfolio. Avantis and DFA use a little bit of momentum in what they do. But it's only one factor, and they certainly do it for a lot less money. Anyway, thank you all for your questions. If you have more, just call them in. You don't use the phone. You just go to TalkingRealMoney.com and use your microphone on your computer or your phone or your tablet or whatever it might be. Record your question. Then they come to me. Then I'll answer them on Fridays. Thank you all very much for being there. Tell a friend or two or three or five or ten. See, I'm being more reasonable today. And if you do want some help, you need some more help with your portfolio, go to TalkingRealMoney.com and click on Meet an Advisor. We will set you up to meet with one of our advisors free. No high-pressure sales pitch, okay? Promise. Cross my heart. Also, if you want to talk to us, call us on Saturday at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. We're here for you from 3 to 5 Eastern Time, noon to 2 Pacific, 855-935-TALK on Saturdays. Thanks for being there. I'm Don McDonald, sitting in my room, talking real money.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions.
Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy.
Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone.
This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction.
Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast.
Oh, I think I need a nap.